Very interesting finding. And it is supported by my experience. I've done explored many different types of meditation, and that has been my experience, is that I can still be having a meditation that's going on an internal level and still functioning and not feeling that that I'm totally split, that they're integrated and one is, you know, interacting with the other or having some relationship with the other. And that was not my experience when I first started meditating, and I was only working in the head. You work just in the head, you often do not activate what the Taoists call the lower brains, the lower dantian and the heart. And when the Taoist practice is to activate and harmonize all three of these brains. You could call them brains because, again, as I mentioned in some of my other classes, the scientific research is now very clear that when you're an embryo and those cells are dividing out, when you start off as just a couple of cells and you start to form brain cells finally, you have as many brain cells that migrate down into your guts as you have in your brain. I'm not talking about brain-like cells. I'm talking about brain cells that have neurons and dendrites and function as brain cells. You have a brain in your guts. They don't know very much now about how that brain functions or whether it can make independent decisions. I mean, this is all the speculations of the scientists. But they do know that just from the mass and the measurement of those brain cells that there are a lot, hundreds of millions of those brain cells down there. I first read about this in the science section of the New York Times, and I was quite amazed because this is kind of what the ancient Taoists have been saying, and everybody just kind of like saying, well, they're just off on this weird thing of their own, you know. And that's essentially what the Taoists are saying, and I think this is very, very key. This is just my own observation, that this ties into dream work, okay? And that I want to draw another diagram here. Yes, that's lucid living. Yes, basically. That, and I just want to just mention that, I mean, it's kind of common knowledge on a cultural level that children and artists seem to have a better connection to their imagination and to, we'll say, the dream state. And often accused of being daydreamers, okay? And I want to point out a possible explanation and how this connects to the dream practice. And that children, I think, have this connection naturally, that they're multidimensional. Because they're coming in, when you come in at birth, you're very much coming in from the spirit body, and you develop an energy body pattern which lays out the map for the unfoldment of the embryo. The meridians and the energy channels are there first, and then the physical body unfolds according to that pattern. And scientists know there is a pattern. They've seen. Something has to be giving the instructions to the cells to come in. And they have noted, and again, you can find this in just the common scientific literature, that it's all based on polarity. All of the patterns, the genetic patterns and the unfolding, are all based on these polarities, which of course is, what are we talking, yin-yang, okay? And the combinations of it as it multiplies out. This is exactly the Taoist theory of the, you know, the cosmos. The yin-yang unfolds. So this unfolds, and you come out of the womb, out of the embryo, and you're birthed into what's called the postnatal state. But you're still very connected and wired into the prenatal energy bodies and the spirit body. You have not separated completely from that. It takes years to train it out of us, literally. To have people tell you, no, you're just imagining things. No, Johnny, that dragon is not real. The only thing that is real is getting a job and making some money, fitting into the economic system, or having a baby and getting married, okay? In that order? Yeah, or any whatever order you like, as long as it all gets done in time to satisfy your parents. But children often can see into the astral, to the next plane, okay? And the boundary is much more porous, okay? And in China, they've done a tremendous amount with this. This is very interesting. The Chinese are very big into, you know, qi research. And they train children there to do amazing feats, which would seem miraculous and impossible. But if you understand Qi theory, they're completely possible. And this has a lot of bearing on the dream work, but I'll just give you a couple of examples first. They give kids a watch that's been disassembled, put it in a box, and they ask the kid to reassemble the watch inside the box. And they do it. Putting objects inside a sealed jar. And they do it. There are various things which a lot of people don't believe, and you can say, no, this is a trick, this is magic. On the other hand, if you read current scientists writing, a book I was reading recently, Michio Kaku, called Hyperspace. I think I was going to say it was hyperdimensional space, but just hyperspace. And he's basically saying, in terms of mathematics, what they've discovered is that you have a problem in the third dimension you can't solve. If you shift to the fourth dimension, mathematically you can now solve it. And it's easier to shift certain things and change their position from the fourth dimension that you can't do in the third dimension. And now, of course, they're working on, you know, up to 10 dimensions, and this is where all superstring theory and all this other stuff comes from. They're basically, in order to solve and explain the physics of what's happening in quantum physics and relativity, they're having to invent all these other dimensions, which all the ancients have said have existed all along. And the idea here, though, the key idea in terms of our practice is that if we can shift into the astral plane, we may be able to solve certain problems that you cannot solve or see very clearly from this plane, because the perspective is so much faster and so much more fluid. Let me just draw a diagram here so we get clear as to what planes and what's the transitions that we're talking about. So, we start off with the physical body, and then we have the aura, which is not the subtle bodies and it's not the astral plane. That's manifest energy in the physical plane, and we could call that, and it's often called physical etheric. And not to confuse the aura with your dream body, your astral body, okay? The aura is a byproduct being emanated from your physical body. It's not arriving from heaven, okay? It's an output, like a printout from your biocomputer here of your state, and it may store emotional, mental, physical information, okay, of the state you're in. You carry it around with your big printout out there, okay? Then you get into, and I'm going to call the low astral, okay? And astral comes from the root word of, we could say, certainly in French, I don't know the Latin, aster, which means star, starry energies, okay? Something a little further away and a little more etheric. And then we can talk about, I'm making this very simple, the high astral. And it's important to see some distinctions in what these are. And then we're going to use, I'm using Western terms, okay? And then we're going to get into the causal. And I'll give you the Taoist terms in just a second. And you'll run into these terms sometimes, and, you know, they're used in different ways by different people. But I think it's useful in terms of dream analysis or dream understanding to see what these might mean. So the physical etheric is your aura and the energy that's manifested out of your physical body. The low astral would be the dream plane, in which things look very similar to the earth plane, only they're soft, like Salvador Dali paintings. They melt and they can move, and it's like what happens in dreams. It looks like the physical plane, but they're weird, and they can do all kinds of things, and they can mutate in a second, and, you know, or disappear, and you can recreate whole realities instantly. So this is the first threshold. We are moving in from the physical. First, we cleared our physical etheric, as we were doing this morning. We cleared the aura with some of the Qigong movements and the hoop. We started clearing that stuff out of the way so that you're not holding negative thought forms and stressed out energy shapes in your aura. Okay, so we were really clearing that off first. Those are the superficial layers of energy, okay? In Chinese, it's called the Wei Qi, the outer, the protective Qi. And then we start moving in deeper to the intermediate meridians and sort of connecting channels. And this is, you start running into more of the astral energies. And this is, again, it looks like physical reality, only it doesn't have the same time frame. And that's one of the key factors why things can change there, is the vibrational field is faster and more fluid. Now, the important thing, as I said earlier today, and I want to reemphasize this again, is that just because you shift out of the astral plane back into your physical body, the astral plane and your activity in it continues. Some of you may have had this experience where you have a dream, you wake up out of the dream for some reason, maybe you have to go to the bathroom, whatever, something, and then you go back to bed and you pick up the dream, only it's not exactly where you left it. It's still happening, but something else happened in there, but you can recognize it as the same dream. Has anybody here ever had that experience? Okay. So this gives you a sense that there is some kind of continuity going on in the astral plane. Okay, your astral body is always conscious and alive, and you, your ego fragments may be shifting in and out of that and catching glimpses of that happening in there and then coming back to here and getting the story on this plane, in this dimension of yourself. When you go beyond the low astral, beyond the dream plane, the energy is vibrating even faster, and things do not hold their physical shape. That's where they start becoming formless, but they're still, we'll say, connected in that energetic range, but you may be conscious and have some awareness of the self, but you don't see your arms and legs. You don't feel physical. You're dissolved in a swirling of light or color or sound and other things, and it's not recognizable as being this plane. You couldn't say, oh, I was, you know, at this place. You're somewhere else. It's dissolved and you don't know exactly what it is because it doesn't relate to here, except the fact that it's the same. The consciousness that was here is now there. Okay? And then beyond that, you can get into causal and precausal states. And those are important also because they're sort of beyond all of our concepts of time and space. And all of these, the high astral and the low astral, even already you start to develop a different sense of time and timelines, because in the physical plane, everything seems very linear. And physically, you know, one billiard ball bounces against another, hits another one, you know, all the molecules seem to be, you know, the big molecules, the bodies and the objects seem to be moving through space and very orderly. But when you move into these other planes, you begin to see that the interactions are multidimensional and happening through other spaces other than what is visible or measurable here. And so events that might seem to be a dream of the future, from the viewpoint of the dream body, it is happening now. But it's just being reported to you here at this point in time. But from another body, from another plane, it's just another event happening. And it happened to get wired in, connected to you here, because it may eventually intersect into it on the physical plane. Yes. Anyway, let's get down to practical things now. So we could take this as another model. This is more like a mystery school model, okay? That the Western sciences have got their beta and their alpha and their theta and their delta, okay? Sort of brainwave measurements. And then you can move and just say, well, these are whole shifts in consciousness. And they're just measuring, you know, the physical, etheric level of this thing when they're measuring these brainwaves. And they're looking at the chemical interactions in the brain. And they're very interesting. I mean, you can learn a lot about the patterning and the shifts that go on. But not to be confused with the entire field or the entire state, okay, which can only be observed directly by consciousness itself. We don't have machines yet that can measure, record somehow that whole field. And I don't know whether it would be possible to develop a virtual reality machine that would do that, but they're trying in the computer industry. So, what to do? Okay. We're going to go back to the twilight zone. Between the physical, etheric, we'll say, you're starting to relax. You don't need, when you sleep, what happens? You start to shut off the functioning channels of the ego, which are mainly the senses. You close the sight first, the eyes. Right? Most of you close your eyes when you sleep? Does anybody here sleep with their eyes open? You do.
No, I don't. But Gay did. She told everybody did. And they couldn't sleep with their eyes open.
Like a crack?
No. Wide open.
Wide open.
So the least little bit of light is going to drive her crazy. And then she would lay there until her eyes would close automatically and then that's when she would sleep.
But she didn't actually be able to get to sleep until her eyes did close.
That's right.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't close her eyes before she'd go to sleep.
Oh, she would wait until she fell asleep and then they would just pull them shut. Okay. So you're going to turn that off. You're going to turn off your sight first, usually, okay? And you're not eating, right? You're turning off taste. And you're not moving around too much. You're going to calm the body down. You're not be feeling around too much, okay? You've finished having sex or whatever else you were doing in bed, and then you're going to lie there, okay? And then maybe the last thing to turn off might be sound, because we don't really have, those are like an open sense. You know, you can't, you have to really willfully concentrate your mind somewhere else in order to shut sound out. So there's this gradual process where you start cutting off the connections that your operating ego fragments need in order to stay functional. And I think that they don't resist it, the ego fragments, because not only are they tired having to do all the things that we're supposed to do here in this plane, but it's like a dream time and sleep time is like a vacation. They can run around and do a lot of other things other than what all these drives and desires and emotions and, you know, they're basically, you could say they're like energy slaves. And they're there to help you have all these things, these experiences that you want to have here. But they'd also be just as happy not having to do that 24 hours a day. And so if they can go play in the astral plane and shift into that and be, you know, sort of like go out to a disco, and we could say an energy disco, and like just let loose and just become any shape or form or anything they wanted, that's very energizing for them. As attached as they are to whatever they've done here in the physical plane. Or get attached, you know, or habituated. So the key thing is, as you're shifting and you shut down these senses, there is this shift from the beta waves and the physical mind activity waves calm down, and you pass through this state. Now, this is the state, the first thing you have to do is learn how to identify it and then prolong it. Okay, by brainwave machines is alpha, okay? In terms of your own experience, your eyelids are falling down and you are half asleep and you're half awake. Okay? Something is pulling you, you want to just drop off and leave and not have to deal with anything in this plane. All your worries, all your problems, great, just go off into the other realm, but you're still here. You're aware of the fact that you're on the edge. You may see flashes of light. You may get, if you're very aware, observant, you may notice, start to notice shifts internally from one side of your brain to the other. This is what we're going to do as our next exercise, is we're going to start to play around with that state, and we're going to start off by doing a little, a simple inner smile meditation, which I've taught some of you before, but now we're going to do it in a different context, and we're going to do it lying down. So,
Michael, can I ask you something?
Yes. Any questions first before we do that?
What is the state that one gets in whenever you are asleep, but you hear everything that's going on, all the conversations, you know, and somebody will say, Joe's really zonked out, isn't he? And you say, no, I'm not. But yet, you have been asleep the whole time.
Right. You're in an extended alpha state. As I mentioned, the hearing is the last sense usually to get shut off, okay? So your other senses may be off, but you're still hearing. And it's sort of like when you're in the womb, and you're an embryo, you know, you can't see outside your mother's body, and you can't feel much other than you're in this sort of deep womb, and it's kind of all the same warm, dark feeling. But you can hear. And you can hear what's going on, and you can hear your mother talking, and you hear all these things, and you just can't shut down your hearing function. So your hearing is very deeply connected to primordial states of consciousness.
I thought one of the things we were going to be doing this is to kind of stay awake while
we are. That's one of the things that can still happen. But what you're hearing, you may be hearing things from other dimensions, though. So staying awake, the question is, where are you staying awake? Which dimension? Okay? So that's another question. Does anybody else have to go to the bathroom? Just get everybody out of line here. Those of you who are in the room lying down right now, why don't you just start clearing your wei qi, the energy right around your body, past the hoop, do some triple heater sounds, sound. Release any tension from the position you were sitting in, any physical muscle tension. We're just starting your back right now. And I'm going to take you through the positions again so you get used to going through them. And try experiment with passing the hoop from your feet, starting at your feet and coming up to your body. The energy may be cooler. You can let the cool energy come up and push out the heat out the top of your head. It's another way to go. And see it like a dark color or dark light. A black light of a hoop passing up a ring of light or a whole tube or tunnel of light coming around your body and passing up it and clearing it up through the head, as opposed to bringing the other light coming or a ring, a hoop coming from the head down towards the feet. If the light disturbs you, you can put if you have a corner of a blanket or a shirt or something, you can just put it over your eyes. I probably should have mentioned that if you wanted to bring a mask, you could. Otherwise, just let it go. Yes. Well, we're going to move to the different positions. We're going to go to the left side and the right side and into the back again. Well, we'll maybe be practicing this one on the right side. We'll see. First, just clearing the energy field. Staying conscious, you have something to do. That's what keeps you conscious. You have something function to do. You're clearing your energy field. Use the triple heater, use the hoop. And also try the technique of seeing the sphere of either white or golden light or dark light moving through the center of your body and clearing deeper energy channels. Begin to see a vast, empty, dark space inside you. Not imagining it, you're actually just shifting your awareness, becoming aware of the fact that we are 99% empty. We're only 1% molecules and atoms. Most of us is empty space. So the way your consciousness perceives that may be very individual to you, but it could be in the form of a large empty space. It might be clear, it might be dark, it might be light. Good, now let's shift onto the left side. Crossing the ankles, we're balancing out the right nostril here. This is going to favor the left channel and left side, resting, going into the earth, becoming more still. If you want, just as an experiment, you can just reach one hand down and plug the left nostril and just breathe through the whole right side of your body. The right nostril only and the right side of the body. And then plug the other nostril and breathe through just the left nostril and the left side of the body. And then release your hands. Resume your position. And now your body is familiar with this position, more rapidly settles into it and begins to, you've trained it, in effect. So already you're more aware. And while lying in this position, I want you to smile into your left brain. The part right next to the hand by the ear, the left forebrain, the left rear brain, the left part of the top part of the head. And breathe it all the way down, let's say into the belly and back out again. Don't just breathe in the left brain, smile there and let that spread and breathe all the way down to the dantian, the left side of the dantian, and all the way back up again. You start to connect this left brain with the lower belly, the belly brain. They're very close cousins. They have the same parents, same mother and father. They just divided into different parts of the body. But they are blood cousins, blood immediate family. Smiling to the left side, starting with the left brain, and then smiling down to the left side of the heart, to the left side of the belly. Just go the whole left side. Putting some intention, some quality now. Not just the physical breath, the physical location of the left energy channel. Starting to sense some qualities. Smiling is a simple one, just a simple acceptance. Opening your heart perhaps a little bit, sort of a gentle, loving feeling of just, okay, I'm just being present with this left side of myself. starting to feel presence. Shifting the emphasis from being in your brain to being in the rest of your body, and specifically in the left side. Five dragons are protecting the center, the hands and feet, the head, this is the fifth dragon. Staying awake in order to watch, to be the witness. Excellent. Now let's roll over onto our right side. Same position. Ankles crossed or touching. And again, you might temporarily just do a little test and block one nostril and breathe in that side, the other side, and block the other side. Block the left nostril and breathe up and down the right. And then just follow the shifts naturally, just watching your consciousness as you're lying there. In particular, breathing into the right side. Smiling, filling it with smiling energy. Letting yourself relax to a deeper state. Body is getting more and more cleared from lying on your back and lying on the other side. Mind is calmer. Breath is more even and deeper. Breathe up the right leg through all the right organs, the right hemisphere, and smile. Breathe back down. Remember to breathe beyond the feet and above the head, beyond the body. Now let's turn over on your back. As you may have gone in rather deep there. And watch if you see yourself starting to fall off the edge of the cliff and you want to go into a deeper state, but part of your mind is up here. If you're not comfortable lying on your back, go back to the previous position or one that was comfortable. In fact, choose the one that's the most comfortable, but check this one out again. Smile into the left side of your brain first while you're in this deep relaxed state. And then smile down the whole left side. Just like a presence, not moving anything or stimulating a chi flow through there. You're just being aware, just accepting whatever the content of the consciousness of the energy, the left side of the body, the left brain is. You're acknowledging and accepting it and just smiling to it like you would to any friend. The left forebrain, the left rear brain, all parts of the brain. The heart, the belly, all levels smiling into the left side there, linking them together. And then smile into the right half of the brain. Notice it may feel a little different. And once you get that feeling, try and open it up and spread it down the right side of your, we'll say really your energy body, the energy channels. Sort of in a deep relaxed state. Some of you may be feeling like falling asleep, but just keeping enough consciousness, enough activity, shifting from left to right. Now start to let your mind in the smiling intention shift between the left and the right sides. It could be like a slowly swinging pendulum. Pendulum might be somewhere above the crown of your head, and it might be swinging all the way below your feet. You feel the line of energy shift. Might go past the outsides of your body. Slow pendulum. Crosses the midline. Pay attention and notice what that's like. Your consciousness is temporarily in the middle line. Let the pendulum keep swinging, but hold your mind for the moment in the central channel, center of the body. Feeling the fluctuations, like you were smiling left and right as the pendulum swings left and right.